this off real quick. We appreciate your prayers as we were struggling with COVID in our house. The kids stayed perfectly healthy. The parents had a rough time. So if you can avoid getting it, go ahead and do that. So it's something that we took seriously. However, we, much like most of folks, we relaxed in a situation at church, and we did not know that we were having a member who was struggling. And before we knew it, we got bit. But we are back. I've been given a clear bill of health. There's no symptoms in our house anymore. So praise the Lord for that. We did feel cheated to not be in your company, but the Lord works things out and he does bless. So we are thankful. Please take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 verse 3 tells us, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward going down of the sun, shall be your coast." Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here this morning. Father, to be in your house, to be among your people. And Lord, what a great thing we have here. Father, for how long I have waited for where you would have us to go. And Lord, these people that were praying for a pastor, we're so grateful for your will. And Father, your way of working it out. Father, be with us now as we face this brand new year. Help us, Lord, not to face it with fear and trepidation, but Lord, with all the comfort and all the confidence that comes by knowing you're in charge. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I have often prayed that God would give me opportunities. Opportunities to serve him, opportunities to fight sin in my own life, to fight sin in the outside world. And what I've come to realize is that we're surrounded by opportunities to the point to where I kind of changed the way I prayed. I stopped praying for opportunities because as long as I'm in this world, there will be opportunity to give the gospel. For as long as I am able to draw air into my lungs, which for a while there was a little complicated, glad to have it back now. But for as long as I have the strength, the Lord will give me opportunity. I've heard of many a child of God on their deathbed still giving the gospel to the nurses and the doctors in attendance to them. We always have opportunity. And when we look at a brand new year, that's often one of our first thoughts. A brand new opportunity. Now, of course, we know that we draw the lines on the calendar. We know that today is no different than last Sunday as far as what God can do. But it's good for us to kind of keep an eye and see what it is that God's about to do in our lives and what he's about to do around us. What I've started to pray instead is that God give me the wisdom to recognize those opportunities, the knowledge to be effective in those opportunities, and the courage to grab a hold of them. Because I have opportunity, amen? I have opportunity to serve him. I have opportunity to clear sin from my life. The bigger problem comes with my apathy, my inattendance to study, my lack of wisdom to recognize and capitalize on those opportunities. As we look forward to a brand new year, us together, we kind of have a new thing. We've got a brand new relationship to grow here. And we've got, you guys are going to have some new members here in the church. And how exciting that is for us to be a part of that. And I hope you're excited too. There's more than just a brand new year on our horizon. And to me, that's exciting. And as we consider the Lord in this, as we always should, as we put Him first in this, there are some things that we should consider as we take the next step forward. The very first thing that we need to realize is we don't know all what the future is going to hold. If I have a point number one, that's it. I don't know everything we will find in 2021. I don't. Verses 1 and 2 of our text say, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." We are in a very precarious part of history here, aren't we? I tell you what, with everything going on the political stage, everything happening medically in our country, we are in a very tight spot. Preacher after preacher will tell you that churches are dying, that the strength of God's people is, well, just not what it used to be. But folks, I tell you what, as we're sitting here and we're watching this transition here between Moses and Joshua, we see a time foretold by the Lord and planned for by Him. Folks, you are where you are today because God planned for you to be here. Amen. I don't know all how God's going to use you to influence those around you. But I do know this, He knows where to put you, and He's confident in His decisions, and so am I. I tell you what, I'm so glad that the Lord has proven to us that we don't need to question His ability to make decisions. In that we can rest in full, we know what He's doing. Now, sometimes in our own confidence and lack thereof, we get a little nervous about that. Lord, are you sure you want me to talk to this person? Lord, are you sure you want me being the influence here? But I tell you what, do not second guess God, even though it comes down to what He's doing with you. Trust Him. We do not know all. Politically, we are in a weird place. What could happen to us financially, medically, spiritually? I don't know all of what 2021 will hold. All I know is that we're here. And we've got to do something about it. We cannot lay apathetic. We cannot lay waiting for something else to happen. We cannot fall, as what my pastor would call, into a maintenance mode where we're just making it to breakfast every morning. Right? You get up in the morning, I got to get to work. I got to get home. I got to get to bed. I got to get up. That's not the way we're supposed to live. We are, as the Bible says, more than conquerors through our Lord. Right? There ought to be some tasks. There ought to be some labor, both in our hearts and in our hands, to where we are serving the Father with everything we have. And I tell you what, we ought not worry about the things we do not know. You know what? Doesn't matter how long you live, there's going to be stuff you don't know. We can't always predict the future. Who would have thought that we would have had a year like the one we just came out of? Who would have thought that people would have been staying out of church, not because of sin, but because of so much sickness? As I was preparing, Sunday the 20th was my birthday, and I was so excited to be here with you folks. It was going to be my first Sunday here as, I know it's not official yet, but as the position of pastor, I had Christmas sermons prepared. I was so excited, and then something happened. And I tell you what, the Lord knew what was going to happen. And you know what? He probably just let me go through with it so I would have the chance to study. I don't begrudge Him of that. But I tell you what, our plans, they're fragile things. But the God who I'm resting on has a plan that never fails. And I can take so much comfort in knowing that He's got the wheel, and it doesn't matter if I don't know what's going on next. I don't know all what God will do. I'm trusting in His plan, though. I'm trusting in the way that He would have me to work, in the way that He would have me to live. I don't know what His plans are, but I know Him, and I'm okay taking a back seat to that. I don't know what all will happen in this church. I pray that together we will grow a great relationship. I pray that together we will grow spiritually. And folks, I'm okay with saying this. I pray that we grow numerically. I do. Not at the cost, of course, of having to compromise on biblical standard, but I pray that we grow numerically. I pray that we will not be the same at the beginning of this 365-day period. I pray that we be different at the end of it. Amen. That we will have grown, that we will have become excited, that we will go closer to the Lord during this time. Because that's the great thing. Whether the Lord gives you 10 years or He gives you 1,000, you're never all the way there. There's always room, always the ability to get closer to Him. I would say point number one, I don't know everything we will find. Point number two, I would say, I do know some things. As we read in verses 3 and 4, the Lord gave a very detailed amount of circumstances that were about to happen. This is what I want you to go do. Right? Now for 40 years they wandered in that wilderness. Right? Their position was to just stay. And the problem with us as people is we get comfortable with the idea of just staying, don't we? We want the status quo to stay the same. I get up, here's my chair, here's my work, here's the chores I have to do today, and here's my bed at the end. And we just kind of fall into a loop, and we get satisfied with that. Oh, but folks, we are called to so much more. There's so much more we're capable of. Not only can we be fine-tuned spiritually, we can be fine-tuned physically, we can be fine-tuned mentally, right? There's always something to do with this flesh and with this mind. There's always so many opportunities that we can take. Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we know that in the future God will be there. He will not disappear on us. Now we look at this text that we read in Joshua. The intention was not for God to stay in the wilderness and the Israelites to go alone. Whatever it is that God has for us tomorrow, He plans on taking the journey with us. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once, and He is with you. If you're a child of God, He is in your heart. He is going to go through whatever tomorrow comes by. For those that are at home, for those that are out in their cars, no matter where you are on this planet, God's going to go with you. Now, while that is a strong admonition for us to stay away from sin, it ought to give us that, what the Scripture says, their confidence. That there is no fear in our actions, no hesitation when it comes down to the things of God, because He plans on going through it with us. It doesn't matter what the news is going to come out with. It doesn't matter what terrorist activity, illness, or whatever tomorrow brings. My God's coming with me through it. And I love so much in Scripture where we see times where Jesus calmed the storm. We also see times where Jesus talked to them during the storm, eased them through it. There are some storms we cannot get around. There are many storms the Lord will stop where they stand, and there'll be many storms the Lord stops ever before we see them. And we can thank the Father for all the things that we never see happening around us. Because He prevented it, He took care of us, He protected us in it. We also see this. If you'll go to verse 16 of Joshua chapter 1. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as He was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. You see their devotion here? Again, it wasn't to Moses. Do you understand the correlation there? Their love wasn't just to Moses. It wasn't to Joshua. It was to God. Now, as much as I would sit there and say that the Israelites had become a little short-sighted, they forget their history from time to time, they did not always forget God and what He could do and what He had done. And they said, listen, as long as God is with you, is that not what they said here? We'll go where God says. As long as the Lord's telling you, we'll go where you go. Folks, we have much of what God would have us to do right there in your lap. People say, well, I don't know God's will for my life. You know a huge part of God's will if you've got this book. You know exactly what He wants of you. And I tell you what, this ought to be just about all we need, isn't it? When we preach from the Word. When we learn from the Word. When Sunday school teachers sit in front of their classes, they ought to be teaching solely from the Word. Right? Now, you know, I've been to Sunday school, you get the little pages, I understand, but we focus our education from the Scriptures. I've seen so many great men, heroes of my faith, turn aside from good, solid doctrine because they got a hold of the wrong style book. They followed a man as opposed to following Scripture. I told somebody one time, we were talking about when the rapture would take place, either before or after the millennial. And for the longest time, we were on the same page. He had preached messages that I had heard, right? That he's one of the people that preached it to me when I was a child. And I sat there and I said, listen, I go, before when you just had Scripture, we were on the same page. It's not until you got extra with other preachers and with other books that you've changed your mind. That philosophy, that false doctrine, you didn't get from here. And folks, that's where we stand. We stand firm in what God says for us to do. Because I tell you what, we'll make mistakes. We'll come to the wrong conclusions. We'll do that. It's just part of us. Not a single one of us has it all put together. Not all of us have all the knowledge that we could possibly have. That's why we rely solely on Scripture and what God says it is for us to do. I know this, that God's promises to us will not change as long as we abide in Him. You see, He promises in verse 20. I'm in the wrong passage here. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, there's often times where we look at what Scripture says. We see some things in the Old Testament. It's good to see them written to the churches in the New Testament, isn't it? It is good to see. Those are words for you and me. That means that whatever it is that He has set out to do, He is still going to be able to accomplish it. You see, this world in their hatred and in their bigotry and in their self-centeredness and their sinfulness and their lustfulness, they cannot limit the power of God. The problem comes with you and me, though. That's where we struggle. The you and me where we don't abide in Christ, where we don't obey Christ, where we go off on our own tangents. That's when the trouble starts. That's when things start to spiral out. I've often said that it is not the gates of hell that prevail against the church. Oftentimes it's apathy or sin or bitterness within the walls. Because as we see in Scripture, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the Lord's churches. It comes from right here. Right. Oh, that we would grasp a hold of God's promises and walk by faith and do as we've been commanded. So we understand this, that we do not know everything that will happen in the future. We understand also that there are some things we can know, right? The Scripture's not going to change. God's going to abide in His promises to provide for us, to forgive us, and to help us accomplish the things that need to be accomplished in our lives. The question then becomes in point number 3, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? When I got up this morning, I put in the GPS the coordinates to get here. Now, I've pretty much figured out how to get here. But I like having Waze open on my phone so I can see if there's any car wrecks or things going on like that. It's just, I like to have an eye on that. So I got up this morning, I put the GPS in. You know what, as much as I fight with like Google Maps, I always trust that app, that Waze app, to get me there and to tell me if there's a problem, right? Now, if I put the coordinates in and I get the kids dressed, and we get the baby fed and clothed and reasonably sane, and we get everybody in the car, but I don't get on the freeway. What a waste of an activity, right? How many of us would do that? We would plan for the day and then stay home. Well, actually, that's probably been the truth for a lot of us lately, but when you think about that, when we set out to do something, we understand that it requires action. What a simple thought, right? I can't just think about it. I've actually got to get out and do it. The lawn does not get mowed. The sidewalk does not get shoveled if I do not apply myself and get out there and take care of it. But the question comes to the child of God. How often do we sit in the pew, hear what it is we're supposed to be doing, walk out those doors, and never apply it? Right? We sit there, we're taking notes, we're paying attention, we're saying amen, but when the Bible talks about lying, we forget about that when we go to work and the boss asks a question we're not comfortable with the answer with. Right? When we see somebody who is clearly struggling, we know how the Lord would want us to respond to that, and we just kind of let that opportunity waft on by. We have so much from God, don't we? We have so much. And if you'll indulge me in being personal here for a second, one of the things on my prayer list, one of the things I'm working on is this spare tire right here. I'd like to get rid of this in this year, right? Of all the things that we lost in 2020, this thing stuck around. But I thought about that. I'm praying that the Lord help me eat less. Amen. Now, if I go over to some of these struggling countries or in struggling parts of our own country, there are places where food is a rarity. And I would have to sit there and say, Lord, look at all that you've given me. Not only did you bring me through this COVID thing, but I've got this extra weight. I've got all this food. I've got access to everything. You've blessed me financially. You've blessed me physically. Lord, you've given me everything. Folks, we need to stop and turn around and make sure we're giving back. Now, I praise the Father. We'll never be able to outgive him. And it's not a matter of reciprocation. We shouldn't even attempt. But there's nothing I have I wouldn't give to the Lord. That ought to be our prayer, and that ought to be our reality as well. See, that's the rub right there. It is getting beyond intention and pushing it into reality. To stop just praying that the Lord would help you with your sin, but that you would do some business and get it out of your life. That if your prayer, Lord, I need to focus better on my temper, on my attitude, on my giving, on my whatever it is that's happening between you and the Lord, that you would not just pray for it, but be a willing participant in doing the thing. I'll have the boys, they pray at night, and they'll pray, Lord, help us to behave. And most often not, most of us adults, we pray something along those lines. Help me to avoid temptation. Help me to stand up against my own flesh. We pray that. But you know who's best in charge of whether or not you behave? That's you. I can't say the devil made me do it to the Father. I know too much now. Right? We have to sit there and take, number one, responsibility in our actions. Anybody here, you got some New Year's resolutions? You think about those things that you want to accomplish this year. A lot of folks, they'll do this. They'll want to read the Bible through one time. And praise the Lord. Get through that Bible. Get to reading. Doesn't matter if it's one time. If you can do it two times, do it two times. You know what? Get into the Scripture. But folks, if you never plan and you never carry it out, it's not going to happen, is it? Things take effort. They take dedication. And you know what? And it takes the dedication when it's easy at the beginning of the year. And it takes dedication when you fall off the wagon. It takes dedication to get back on it in the middle of the year when things haven't been going so well. When you're not exactly so as excited and pumped up about it as you were in the beginning of the year. It takes effort and it takes continual activity. Folks, if the things of God matter to us, we'll be willing to push things past how much willpower we have. And that ought to be important to us. You know what? I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to take time, not just a quick minute, but I'm going to take some considerable time with the Father. I heard somebody say this. Well, I set my watch, and you know what? The Lord and I, we talked for 15 minutes. Can I ask you a question? If I called you up and told you I had exactly 15 minutes to speak with you and I was going to cut it off at that 15-minute mark, what would you think of me? If I told you I only talked to my mom for 15 minutes and that's all she gets in a day, I cut her off, you'd probably look at me sideways. And many of you would probably sit there and say, I wish I had 15 minutes again with my mom. Now think about that. Why? Because to you, that time is gone. And it becomes all the more precious. Folks, if our hearts are right, that time with the Father is precious. And there is no clock. There's no clock. There's no time. There's no, hey, Father, we're going to do 15 minutes today. Hey, I did pretty good. I did 20 minutes today. Who thinks of conversations that way? And really, when we think about prayer, you ought to think of it as a conversation. It's talking. I am talking to the Father. And there are moments when we pray and the Lord brings Bible verses to mind as you have studied. And now all of a sudden, now it's a two-way conversation. That's a precious thing. You write those verses down, hang them up on your wall, look at them. Because that's a message from you, from the Father, through the Scriptures. What we ought to do is we ought to march into that new year. Verse 16 of our text once more. Again, that's in Joshua chapter 1. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest we will do, and whithersoever thou send us, we will go. What's your attitude when it comes down to what God would have you to do personally? It's one thing to say what we will do as a church. It's one thing to say, hey, listen, this is what I ought to do as a child of God. But what in your heart are you willing to accomplish and do? Are you going to be the child of God with all of the activity that is required? Are you going to be that person? Are you willing to say, hey, listen, we look at that idea of marching. I'm starting here. I'm going there. Oftentimes in my life, I've said, hey, listen, this is what God has required of me. This is where I am. I've got to figure out what's making up this gap, and I've got to get there. And that's us every day. Hey, listen, I'm falling behind. My reading's not where it should be. My devotion isn't where it should be. My prayer, my purity, I've got some sin in my life that's taken me away. All right, I've got to make up that gap. We march into this new year. We say, listen, it doesn't matter what the requirement is. I'm going to give everything I have. I've seen people, they struggle physically. They've got some medical conditions. Through the passing of time, their body becomes unable to do certain things. That has nothing to do with your service. It only controls what you can do. Right? If we've got people with mobility issues, your service to the Lord isn't shoveling snow. Right? But you ought to be every bit the prayer warrior your church needs you to be. Right? Your devotion, your lifestyle with the Lord ought to be tight. Being that person who stores the wisdom and dispenses the wisdom to those that need it. I tell you what, one of the greatest ministries that one can enter into is being one who lived a godly life and is able to turn around and pass that wisdom down to the young people in the church. It's required of young people. Listen, take advantage of it. Take advantage. I have often said that there are purchases that I've made with stupidity. Things that I've generated in my life that I did because I did not listen to the wisdom of those around me. And you know what? Some mistakes, they take years to fix. Some, they only take moments, but they make you cringe the rest of your life. Listen. Be someone who can hear wisdom. Be someone who can apply the wisdom of others. And I'll tell you this, none of this, None of this is going to matter. None of this is going to change. Nothing is ever going to happen in your life if you do not manage two things. So in 2021, if you're getting ready to buckle in into this thing, there are two things you need to know. One, you need to do it God's way. Ever hear that Frank Sinatra song? I'm not big on worldly songs, but that Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way." Now the cute thing is, he got real famous, you know, got real famous singing songs that he never wrote. "I Did It My Way" is one of them. And you think about some of these people that are popular, some of these people that have money, some of the people that folks look at and they admire them. They had horrible lives. Frank Sinatra was a dirty, horrible man. If you just look at what he said about what he did in his own life, it would just appall you. You see, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, right? But the problem is with the way that seems right to me often gets me in trouble. It is when I turn to the Lord and I give my life to honesty, give my life to the testimony that God would have me to give, then I see success. Then I see blessings in my life. We need to, number one, understand that it goes by God's way. That it happens God's way. Number two, we also need to see this, that your sin will weigh you down. You cannot hang on to it. If I were to go today and sign up for maybe get an Olympic coach and say, "Coach, I want to run the 50 meter. He'd look at me, he'd laugh his head off. Number one, I'm clearly too old. Right? Number two, there's a burden here that I'm hanging on to that would probably stop me from being able to finish it, let alone win anything at it. And I say that very tongue-in-cheek, but many of us, we carry around bags of our sin, we carry around sinful influence in our lives, and we wonder why God isn't blessing us. We wonder why things have become difficult. Why is it that I struggled to pray? Why is it that when I go to talk to the Lord, I can barely squeak out 2 to 3 minutes before my mind wanders? We're carrying around a weight that'll stop us from running. What is it? Is it bitterness in your heart? Is it sin in the camp? What's happening in your life that's putting that wedge between you and the Father? Hey, listen, I go to sit down, I go to read the Bible, but my mind has a hard time grasping a hold of what it says. Can I tell you this? Some things just come by practice. Other things, again, check that sinful lifestyle. Check what's going on around you. I'll tell you this, if you spend hours staring at your phone, you're going to struggle when it comes down to this book. Actually, you're going to struggle when it comes down to any book. Remember back when your parents used to tell you that sitting in front of the TV would rot your brain? We're looking at a society that has proven your grandmother right. Grandma was right. Because we sit down and we have kids that are having a hard time learning more than ever before. We sit down as adults and we struggle to read here. That's how you can tell there's something going on here. There's something going on here that needs addressing. I like going to church, but I just, you know, it's not always something I want to do. I struggle to get there. Check the heart. Check the heart. Right? If you're going down the road and the car sputters out and you're on the side of it all of a sudden, what do? You just kind of sit there and wait for the car to get easier going? To decide it's going to fix itself? No, you're not going to fix yourself. What do? We get out, we lift up the hood. Now, I've got no idea what's going on under there, but every time I do the same thing, I lift it up. Maybe something will be on fire. I don't know. Right? That's how I can tell what's wrong. If it's smoking, it's broken. We lift up, we take a look. Folks, if there's a problem with how you're running, you need to lift the hood. What sin is here? What am I doing differently than what God would have me to do? I get flack for this all the time. I'll say, listen, the music you listen to, the television you watch, the books you read, what you do on your phone, they all affect you right here. You don't believe me? I'll tell you this. Go down and play Brahms at a bar. Why don't they do that? Because music sets an atmosphere, doesn't it? Go down to the dance hall, put on something classical. They won't appreciate it. Why? Because music does something. Now, I'll tell you this. If music does something at a bar, music does something to people at a dance club, if I go to some of these commercial churches out here and the music that they play that provides the emotional stimulus to people to make them think they're communing to the Lord, but really they're just rocking out, if I change that, it all changes. If it affects them there, right? And it is a sweet science, by the way, of music and poetry and the things that they do. It affects you here. It affects you here. So I tell you what, if I cut that stuff out and I focus more solely on things that bring honor and glory to the Lord, you're gonna notice a change. You are. I get in trouble for it. You know, well, so you don't watch rated R movies? No, I don't watch rated R movies. I don't watch movies with swearing in them. We stay away from those things. Why? Because what you put in here is what comes out. Amen. I put garbage in here, garbage comes out. If I take one of these Muppets over here and I put them in an engineering school, their brain is going to work in a more engineering way. If I apply my brain to all the filth and gore and destruction of this world, guess what's going to be continually up here? That's what's going to be there. So folks, what we must do is we must clear the path. We must clean it up. Christmas morning when you have kids, your house will never be dirtier, right? It just won't be. And as a dad, I get prepared. I've got my box cutter. I've got a knife. I've got plastic bags all over the place. We did Christmas morning. We were out of trash bags. It was a disaster. Like as a dad, that's one of your main functions on Christmas morning is trash bag. You get it out. I didn't have one. But you think about how nasty your house gets. There's boxes and toys and ribbons and bits of paper all over the place. And I can't function in a house that way. I just can't. Folks, your brain will not work that way either. If it is filled with the junk and the worry and the debris of this world, you will not be able to march on. Now, as we look at the children of Israel here, as they went in, they took that land, didn't they? They did. They took that land. God gave it to them as an inheritance. It was a promise that God had made to Abraham. And God carried through with his promise. I'll tell you this. This year, I want you to apply yourself to Bible reading. I want you to apply yourself to getting that sin out of your life finally. Whatever it is you're struggling with, I want you to apply yourself to get rid of it. I want you to apply yourself to better your brain. I want you to better your spirituality. Apply yourself to what God says to do. He'll take care of the promises. You'll find yourself sitting there going, this has gotten a lot easier. Why? Because God doesn't lie. He's gonna bless your path. You'll find all of a sudden you're thinking more spiritually. You'll find yourself being able to give the gospel more comfortably. And you know what? You might even see a soul saved, and there's no greater high for a child of God. Think about a baptism. When was the last time you saw a baptism? Wouldn't it be good to see a lot more? No, the Lord has his elect. He really does. I will not say that you doing something will or will not create an elect person. I'm not going to say that. But what I will say is this, is since we're here, there's elect people out there. Let's go get them. Apply yourself to it, right? Let's be those people. I sat there last night with the list of people that I pray for that I know are lost. And I tell you what, if you were to try to make a list of all the people you know that are lost, that's going to be quite a book. But you know what hit me last night as I was looking at that? Lord, not only do I want to pray for their salvation, I want to pray for my responsibility to finding the elect in this list. I'll never know. What's my job? My job is to plant the seed everywhere. Just get it out there. I'll never know which one's which. I just do the work. I want to pray for my responsibility in 2021 to be a soul winner. To be somebody who gives the gospel. To be somebody who loves the Lord so much that I no longer care what the world says, what they may think or what eyes may roll, but that I will not only, I'll stand with him and I'll serve him unashamedly. Folks, we need to pray and participate in spiritual growth. But I'll tell you this as well. We're also going to have some joy. Why? Because the child of God is never without joy. John chapter 14, verse 22. John 14:22. Sorry, John 14:27. My apologies. Peace I leave with you. This is the Lord talking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He is still on the throne. And I'll tell you what, when I need help, he's on the throne. When I need to grow, he's on the throne. When I struggle personally, when I have illness, when I have difficulties in my life, when there's the big decisions to make, my God still sits on that throne. And I'll tell you what, I've got all the peace in the world about that. I tell you what, if I watch all of these politicians lose their minds, unable to make a decision, unable to decide, I know that my God, the one I bow to, never finds himself in that position. And as long as I abide in him, as long as I give him my decisions, and I give him my heart, and I trust in him, I'll never have to be the same. I love that old joke. Comes back every time there's a new president. As here, Joe Biden recently went to a nursing home. And as he was walking through, one of the attendants there said, "Sir, you can't go in there." And he turns around and he looks at the attendant and he says, "Do you know who I am?" And she lovingly reaches out, pats his hand, says, "Don't worry, sweetheart, we'll find out for you." If you've never heard that before, just know that it's old. But you know what, folks? Man is so fallible. We are. We're so fallible. I have joy in knowing that I trust in the one who's not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, I am so grateful for you. So grateful for your strength and your wisdom. And that, Father, not only would you take the time to know us, but that, Father, you would share those things with us. Lord, we are unworthy of your attentions, but Father, so grateful that you would give them to us. Lord, we love you. We wish to serve you. Strengthen us, Father. Help us to give our diligence to spiritual discipline, that, Father, we may be sharp tools in your hands for this mighty work that we see in 2021. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.